Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
Yo, yo,
ah, now, fucker.
Tune in to Al Joe, the funk master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock that cold faster. Talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfuckers.
It's like the past seven episodes or something. You got the rap on there, right?
Nah.
Longer?
Yeah, this guy made it for us a little while back. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps, episode 90, I think.
Yeah, we got one of those.
We got a new guest today. New guest in the house, James. What do we go by? Speedy, Alley Cat? Which one are we using?
I like to be like Prince, like formerly known as Speedy, but now the Alley Cat is that's what I'm rocking with now, you know?
That works. It works. You know, we switch it up. You don't gotta be stuck to one name, you know?
Yeah. I don't wanna be envisioned as a running mouse anymore, you know, fighting cats. I'm the Alley Cat. So I'm fighting the mice now, you know?
Yeah, so James is one of our black belts at Sarah BJJ. Trains with us at Cerro Longo.
Yes,
fight
sir.
Team.
Yep.
Been fighting for a while now. When did you go pro, by the way?
I went pro 4 years ago. No. Yeah, 3.5-4 years ago.
I feel like
2016.
I was doing
amateur. I went amateur in 2013. Around 2014, I had my first couple amateur fights where I was just doing it in New York when it was illegal, when shit was real, you know? They had to hide out.
I feel like a little bitch then, bro. I was pro 2011.
That's crazy, man.
Long ass time.
Yeah, 9 years already. Dude, like, 9 years from now, I better be good, you know? All I'm saying is, but because, like, I see how amateur fighters now have it. Where, like, they have events, like, pro events now, like, and they're all over the place. These amateur fighters are lucky. Back when I was doing it, it was, like, a cafeteria. Maybe had, like, 30 people there who wanted to fight as well, who were just there to watch. And it was fun. But definitely like to see where it's come from when I first started doing the amateur MMA in New York to where it is now. A lot of guys really got built up and...
Yeah,
got their pro career started. Even like Dennis is a perfect example. He was fighting for Triton, and Triton is just an amateur MMA scene on Long Island. And look, he's fighting pro, going Bellator, Ring of Combat champion. And I don't know if that's like on the DL still or whatever.
Yeah. He should be making a guest appearance on a very popular summer series.
Yeah.
We'll just say that.
Yeah.
So hopefully everything shakes out and goes well for him. And we keep this gravy train going with all the W's that this team has been pulling in. So I'm just excited about everything, man. 2020 has been ridiculous in terms of like the quarantine and all these like people that we know and beloved, like beloved people that we have that we hold dear to our hearts. And, like celebrity icons, that type of thing, you know, these guys passing away very, very, very young and stuff like that. And all these type of, other tragedies happening. So it's been a roller coaster, but it's nice to have like one type of positive that we can look forward to, especially like it's what we do for our profession and making our money at the end of the day.
We don't have like everything going bad right now.
Yeah.
We have what's going on with the whole nation as a whole, but at least we winning. You know what I'm saying?
At least we are winning. It's crazy, man. So James has been training with us for a very long time. You were at Sarah's before I was.
Yeah, I've been doing jiu-jitsu since 2010, but I got into MMA like 4 or 5 years after I started. So like 2014, 2015, I really started going after the MMA career,
That's good, man. And he's a high-level black belt. Like I said before, man, there are black belts and there are black belts.
Yeah.
And we're Sarah BJJ black belts,
yeah,
baby.
Brother. Yeah, that's right. Double black today. Double black.
Yeah, so so far everything's been going well. So we got a couple guys fighting. We got Marab coming up August 15th. We have Wyman August 8th, Mizuki, August 22nd, possibly Favola, August 29th, possibly. Yep. And Dennis should have a fight in like the very, very beginning of September. So
September.
So we're rolling right now. And maybe Dylan. Dylan might have a fight. He's setting out for Bellator at the Mohegan Sun.
Yeah, so hopefully he, you know, enough of you guys shared that, you know, post or whatever. Let's get some eyes on Dylan, man. He's the quiet man for a reason.
I actually really like that. It's hilarious. Yeah. When I first heard the nickname, the Quiet Man, I was like, who the fuck is the Quiet Man? And I saw it was Dylan. I was like, what is up with the Quiet Man? And it was just kind of like, what a...
don't talk about it. I finally got it a little bit. It was like, be careful. The quiet ones
are the ones.
And I think, I don't know if that's the origin of where he came up from, but Dylan, you got to tell people... why you the quiet man? Because we try and find out.
Yeah. You guys did jiu-jitsu yesterday, right?
Yeah, yeah. We did, we had Marab Steamroller. Dennis came through. Nas was there holding pads and stuff. But yeah, we had a good training session. We did just consecutive rounds. I think we did like 14 threes.
You guys just rolled.
Well, we did a few techniques. I was going over... Jesus. I forgot. But I think butterfly guard passing to side control. Yeah. So we went over some passes and then we just did some feet to floors, man. Got that work.
Oh shit. So who's hitting pads?
Like, oh no, cuz Nas, he has the injured rib right now. Okay. So, he was like working out and like hitting the bag and stuff, but then we were doing our own thing, you know.
Gotcha. I wasn't sure if you guys did like a hybrid of the train, like some we started with pads and started doing technique here with stand up and then moved over to
we were just straight into jiu-jitsu, you know, cuz like I know you weren't able to get there yesterday, and some of the other guys.
I had to work on my golf swing, man.
They all took a vote on who wanted to teach or what go over. And I was like, okay, let's just do some passing real quick, and then let's get that hard jiu-jitsu wrestling rounds in. You know,
yeah,
which is good.
I had a good day yesterday. Might not have been training with like passing guards and stuff, but I was passing the driver club.
Yeah, right. You're sharing with
the driver.
The
driver club, not doing so good. It wasn't a good day for me, but I hit some good ones. Some of them, you know what's my problem? I don't hit it where it gets distance. So if I do hit it, it doesn't go very far.
No, but you get it in a straight line.
Somewhat go straight.
Usually hit where you're trying to hit, but just...
somewhat.
You got to scoop it up more. Like,
yeah, underneath that shit. Get underneath that ass, you know?
Yeah, when we were at the driving range, I saw this guy had to be like 250. These big guys, they got it easy when they play golf, man. They can just take a lazy swing. That shit's flying because they got all that weight behind it. But like... I forgot your boy's name.
Adrian was killing him.
He gets under that thing and he sends it high and far. And I was like, you know, I was checking him out, not like him out, but like his technique, just to verify that with you guys. And I just tried doing that, and I just started hitting him like 100 yards at a time, 150 yards. That feels good.
Just moving the arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been watching a ton of videos, man, trying to see if it's gonna help. Can't say it has. And then when I did hit good, it would go into the freaking sand dune. Yeah. And then I sit there with 3-4 swings to get it out. I'm like, well, there goes the hole.
Yeah,
I started off well. There goes the hole right there.
Yeah, I feel like there'd be a total, like when I go to, like I've only been to a driving range maybe 3 or 4 times in my life. But I never felt pressure at the driving range. Like, I feel like if I'm playing with people and there's like a rate of play, if you ever watch I Love You Man, and the girls are taking up all the time because they keep fucking up or whatever, and like everyone's complaining, hurry up.
Well, they're behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're waiting.
Yeah, so like if you're not hitting like, I don't even know the terminology, but like a 2-par, 3-par, if that makes sense. It's like, get out of there already. But I'm looking forward to doing like a 9-hole. It just seems fun, man.
Yeah. I might go back this weekend or tomorrow. I'm going to the range again. I'm like one of those guys, once I find a hobby, I want to get so good at it because I just hate to just being a sucker.
Dude,
I just don't want to be the weakest.
It's hard as like a fighter too to find something else that, you know, motivates you to want to like have fun. Like, cause for me, I really don't have any hobbies. I just like to go train and do jiu-jitsu. That's really it. So like, this is like one of the first things I've really seen you outside of training where you're like, I'm having fun. I like doing this shit, you know? Like, yeah, we can go out and, you know, go for drinks, eat at a bar. But this is actually, like, a sport that has piqued our interests. And, like, I'm totally down going golfing more often. Like, yeah. It was pretty fun.
I want to make this, like, a thing that we do now. And pool, too. I play pool a ton. I played a lot in college. Mm. So that I actually have a much better grasp on. But the connection with the floor and... I don't slice mm-hmm. the ball very often. I do once in a while, but just hitting the floor, man, you get that rattle, that sensation back in your wrist, especially for this wrist. It doesn't feel the greatest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, fuck, that hurt.
Put it on the tee, man. Put it on the tee.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, I don't know if that's... I don't think you could legally do that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, yeah. But, on the grass.
Yeah.
But at least the grass, because I remember when we were hitting it on the turf, you were like, be careful on the turf, because that doesn't budge. But on the grass, you know, it kind of can come up with the dirt.
Yeah, you could take some of it up. All right, we don't want to bore you guys with too much golf talk, but we're going to get into the fights. This weekend we have a big card. Robert Whittaker is back. Mm-hmm. Bobby Knuckles taking on the gorilla, Darren Till. I don't know if you've ever seen, I don't know if you're on Twitter, but my profile picture has been a face mashup of myself and Darren Till for about 3 weeks.
I thought you got hacked. I'm like about to like text like, yo, Aljo, someone just like hacked your profile.
Yeah,
but it was you.
It was me.
Like, okay.
I was talking to someone and they were like posting it and then they were like making fun of whoever it was a mashup of, and I was like, yo, do me.
They
made it, and I was like, oh, this is actually amazing. Did I just put it
these
in?
Face swap things are getting intense, man.
It's getting creepy.
Yeah. Really?
I saw Kelleher did one. I was like, dude, what is that?
Yeah, you guys got to start putting watermarks on that fake stuff. Like, be like I don't know, like a little sign that says, hey, this isn't actually the person, like, in the corner of the top. Because some of that shit, you know, people are impressionable nowadays. But I love that. That was funny.
Yeah, so I like this matchup because, obviously, we see Robert Whittaker coming back from a pretty long layoff.
Mm-hmm.
And a loss from the new champ, the style bender, Israel Adesanya. And Darren Till coming off a win over Kelvin Gastelum for his 185-pound debut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how much of the fight you watched for Darren. I'm pretty sure you watched the Whittaker Adesanya.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much you remember with the Till versus Gastelum.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember. That fight...
MSG, right? I think that was MSG.
I really thought Gastelum, especially... Like, I don't know if maybe... Because the last fight was such a war, he didn't want to go through that again. But he was really on the brakes that whole fight. I really wish he kind of just went in there. And, I like Darren Till. Nothing against Darren Till. But I felt like Gastelum, especially if he wanted to try and get an immediate rematch, should have just went in there, you know, and threw away all ambition of, you know, safety. Like he did in that fight with Stylebender. And I think we would maybe have seen a rematch between the two if he just ran through Darren Till.
Yeah.
But that fight was a little lackluster. There were some good moments in it, but...
I'm going to go with a lot of lackluster.
Yeah.
But,
I didn't want to say
happens.
Too much.
No, it happens. It's one of those things. Especially as fighters, I don't like bashing all the guys, but when a fight was... Nothing happening. Like, Adesanya, Romero, nothing happening.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty fair to say that fight kind of... It didn't suck. It was a technical chess match.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel the intensity throughout the entire moment. But when the fight was over, it was just like, well, damn it. Nothing happened. This sucks.
It was kind of funny watching Yoel Romero, you know, be like, it wasn't my fault. You know, it's on him. It's like little kids,
running,
you know, say, like, complaining. But, But yeah, that like, and I understand, I guess, because, you know, he just lost to Stylebender and he didn't want to lose the fight, another fight to take him further away from that, you know, what was that, Road to Gold hashtag he was doing?
On a mission for gold.
On a mission for gold. And then, you know, Till, after getting knocked out, going up to 185, maybe he was playing it safe. So they were both trying to play it safe and get that other win to, you know, solidify their position in the division. Maybe it just got to him. But Darren Till came up on top that night, and now he's fighting former champion Robert Whittaker.
Yeah. Imagine if Till had got a title shot off that win over Gastelum, and then here I am taking out top five contenders and finishing them.
Yes.
and nothing.
Yeah.
I just this is not about me, but I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, no, no.
You gotta put that out there.
I feel that. And I've noticed that. I've noticed that like one thing, I don't know if just because we're smaller fighters or whatever, and our divisions are a little more stacked. So there's like a bigger talent pool in the lightweight divisions. So I guess I can see how they would match up some people sometimes for the titles. But like if he got the title shot from beating Gassim,
like,
and it's his debut, that's crazy to even think.
Well, Aldo got a title shot off of a loss, split decision.
I agree with you in every way, but
yeah,
it's Jose Aldo though. Like, yeah, he has the whole country behind him. The guy was very dominant for so many years.
So does Darren Till.
I don't know.
He has the UK behind him.
Yeah, but not in. He wasn't Liverpool. Dominant in the UFC. Like, yeah, Aldo was.
Well, yeah, true.
When
but he did fight for a title.
Who did he fight? How many fights did he have in the UFC before he fought Woodley?
I feel three? Like five, maybe
or,
six.
Or, okay.
I think he fought to a draw with Nicholas Dalby, who's fucking tough, too.
Yeah.
He got cut and came back, rattled off a bunch of wins on the regional circuit, came back. And I think he's actually on this card, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yep. Right there, Nicholas Dalby's
taking on Jesse Ronson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I think it just goes to speak, like, the UFC is going to do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. And just based on those two performances, I'm not sure who I'm leaning towards. I think Whitaker taking some time off. I know he was talking about he was running, mm-hmm. and he just stopped, and then he just left. And then mm-hmm. he just kind of went ghost.
Yeah.
And no one heard from the guy, like a super mysterious thing. It's like, mm-hmm. like a scene out of a movie. Like,
yeah, run it's down. Weird because, like, he had a lot of things going on with him, with his knee being jacked. You know, whatever personal family issues. I know someone was sick or something where he had to pull out fights. And just like that one time where he got hospitalized. So there's a lot of things going on up until the Adesanya fight.
The hernia.
Where, yeah, that like he was just getting back to back. And especially after that Yoel Romero when he stomped his knee in the beginning of the round. Like, whoo, to go five rounds with Yoel after having your knee obliterated like that. But
the mental toughness.
For this fight, I don't know. I think, like, not to talk and
I don't
shit,
know who I like in this.
But I think Whitaker is going to blow through Darren Till.
You think so?
I just feel it. I feel like he got a little too emotional with Adesanya. And, like, he was charging him a little too much. I really wish he would charge him and pull back to see if he could have got Stylebender to look to counter. And then when he pulls back, pull him into the dogfight instead of chasing him the whole time.
Exactly. Because
he ran into a lot of punches that way, which caused like the downfall. But I don't think, especially after that performance, that he's going to allow something like that to happen again with Darren Till.
Yeah, Darren Till's strategy against Gaslam. Throw like one, maybe two strikes mm-hmm. and then clinch him up and put him against the cage. Gaslam just letting it happen, just taking it, which I was really confused by. There was like no real effort of him like trying to get out, like struggling, mm-hmm. like to make it noticeable that like, hey, I'm working here and he's like avoiding the fight. Mm-hmm. Even though that doesn't change anything, if I tie you up and you struggle or don't struggle, but nothing happens, mm-hmm. like no strike exchanges or anything like that, doesn't really change like the outcome. It's still a clinch and it's still nothing happened.
Yeah.
So it's tough to say. Like, I don't know where these two guys' mindsets are going to be, especially Whitaker. Mm-hmm. Like I said, he was training on Sundays. And then when he stopped in the middle of his run and pretty much just went ghost because mm-hmm. he needed like that just break. And I can only imagine what that's like training that hard all the time, especially after like losing the belt and all this stuff. And I'm just hoping he comes back the way he did. When he fought at 170, he struggled a little bit, mm-hmm. but when he was on the tough smashes, he knocked everybody out pretty much to win the entire Ultimate Fighter title.
Yeah.
Then he went back up after losing to Wonderboy, and at 170, went back up to 85, and he's been on a tear, won the belt, just finally lost. But I don't want to say finally lost, but mm-hmm. he just recently lost, and mm-hmm. it's going to be interesting to see where his head is at. And I think you're right. I think he's going to be a dangerous guy for Till. I don't think he's mm-hmm. going to allow Till to just push him up against the cage and chill out and give him man hugs.
Yeah, because like the thing about Adesanya is going to hit you from all of these different angles, and he's always going to be circling off the cage. I think Darren Till will probably be more likely to stand in front of him and look to be technical, like, and powerful with his strikes, but it's not going to be like when Whitaker was fighting Adesanya, he was chasing him the whole time. I think they're going to kind of clash in the middle of the cage. And I don't know. I think Whitaker has such clean boxing, especially when I saw that highlight of him fighting against what's the guy from he has tattoos, and I think he's from Hawaii, but he has like the Samoan tattoos or whatever. He was a prospect at 185 too. But I forgot his name. I love him, though. I think his name's Brandon UC? Something or whatever. He has the beard. He got knocked out by that... Remember the Shamanizen guy?
Oh, hey, Tavares. Brad Tavares.
Yeah, Brad Tavares.
Yeah, yeah.
Love you, Brad. But, like, yeah. like Whitaker's hands were so crisp in that when he finished him in that fight. Like, if he could bring that same dog out against Darren Till, that would definitely be fight of the night.
Yeah. I will say, to Whitaker's defense, for him fighting Adesanya leaning back and hitting him with those punches.
Yeah.
As he's going backwards, just...
Yeah.
And connecting. Mm-hmm. And... him barely getting out of the way of Whitaker's punches, like, yeah. by a centimeter. Like, yeah. the smallest of margins. I'm like, dude, there is no way. Not no way, but I don't think Darren Till is fighting like that on that yeah. lean back. And I will say, Till tends to lead like this, and he leaves his chin up. He's a tough southpaw, big dude, coming mm-hmm. up to 85. He was a massive
guy welterweight. At 170, yeah.
Yeah, so for him coming up to 85, I think he's doing more than the right thing and gives his body more space to fill out. But... I think if he leaves that chin up like that, man, yeah. it'd be a good target for...
When we were in whatever. Dallas and you were fighting on the card as Woodley, you fought Brett Johns. I remember seeing Darren Till walking through Cody the Stamen. Hotel. Oh, Cody Stamen, sorry. Yep. Walking through the hotel, and he looked drained.
Yeah.
Like, really, like
it's a tough weight cut, man.
Yeah, man. Very dry at 170. I'm happy that he's going up to 185. I think that's just where he needs to stay.
Yeah, it's a 15-pound weight difference.
Yeah,
But you're going with Whitaker for this?
I would like to go with Whitaker. Yeah,
damn, I love Till though, man, because he's a good character, good sport for the division. Just
definitely.
Like brings personality. Like you can see the banter that he does and the whole thing he has going on with Mike Perry right now, which insane. I really would like to see what's gonna happen when those two actually do see each other, because it's gonna happen at some point.
Yeah. I don't know if Till wins this fight. We might have to wait a while for it. Because, you know, for him to beat a former champion, if he does beat Whitaker, I don't think Mike Perry is going to be seeing him for a little while, unless it's kind of like a fan fight, you know, where it's like a Masvidal versus Nate Diaz kind of thing, where you just see two guys that hate each other
Masvidal.
Just go after each other.
Masvidal.
Masvidal. Puerto Rican, not Cuban, sorry.
the next matchup, Shogun. Mm-hmm. And Nogueira, this is
number three,
the trilogy.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, I really don't remember fights one and two, but I'm gonna say Shogun won.
I honestly can't remember either. I feel like Nogueira definitely beat him once out of the times with strikes, because this is the Nogueira with the awesome boxing, right? At 205.
Let's look.
I know the heavyweight one is the very jiu-jitsu orientated one, and then the 205 brother is the one who has the awesome boxing. Yeah, because the other Nogueira got his arm broken by Frank Mir. Yeah, that I think I'm thinking of the right one.
Yeah, so he's 0-2.
Yeah,
he's 0-2 to Shogun Nogueira.
Oh, so Mauricio beat him every
twice.
Time. Ah, okay.
So. There's a chance for Max Holloway, Volkanovski 3.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so, man. Like, it was a good fight, and, like, I understand, like, all this stuff is happening in a very strange time, so people can't be as prepared as they want to for these fights. I understand. I know Volkanovski was talking about USADA knocking on his door fight day at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Oh.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, well, they fought at, like, 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, yeah, 9 a.m. He went to bed at 9, and then at, like, 11 or something, they came knocking, which is kind of, like,
no, it sucks. Well, it happened to us from myself and Marab in Vegas. Fight day, they came to the room. I just finished my morning shakeout. I'm like, bro, and I already took a piss, and I'm like, bro, you got to be fucking kidding me. So now I'm sitting there waiting to piss for this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, same thing happened to Marab, and I'm like, dude, it was just more annoying than anything that you have to sit there and wait to get all that stuff taken care of. But it's... At this point, it's kind of like, expected, I guess, as part of the job. But that is shitty. But I would say that just about all those guys in those main event slots probably had to deal with the same thing. But I don't really think this fight's going to go any different, if I'm being honest. I think Shogun's been a little bit better in the win columns than Nogueira. I mean, Shogun, he even beat our guy Vellante. I don't know if people are going to say take that with a grain of salt, but I thought Vellante was going to get him out of there, just him being on the older side. And
older side, Vellante much bigger, much younger. And it, like, I know I saw the highlights from the fight, and, like, you know, Shogun got great hands. And don't sleep on his jiu-jitsu either, you know. I know Shogun has been submitted before, but he's got great jiu-jitsu, like, off his back and top grappling control, very top-heavy pressure passer jiu-jitsu fighter. So, but he's fighting a Nogueira, so it's like, I think whoever has the best hands in this fight, the best striking, is going to win this. So I would probably say Mauricio as an all-around, because he's a kickboxer more so than just a regular boxer. Nogueira is more of just a boxer, jiu-jitsu fighter. So.
Yeah, and I think Shogun might be a little bit faster still. So I'm going with the same thing, going with Hua for that.
Same.
This next one, Werdum versus Gustafsson. This one for me is a fun fight because Werdum, I think, is kind of on the downswing of his career at this point. I think he hit that pinnacle, that peak, when he beat those guys in the very beginning, right before that title run, and not even before the title run, on his way to winning the title against Cain Velasquez. And I did think he was going to be on top for a very long time until he ran into Stipe, literally. That was no pun intended, but yeah, he literally ran right into Stipe, and he lost the belt. But ever since then, I just don't feel like he's ever looked that good as he did beforehand. I don't know if it's a mental thing or his age. He is like 42, I think, or 43 now.
For sure. And his last fight against, I think it was Alexander Oleanik or whatever.
And he lost that one.
Yeah, he lost that one in the positions where I thought he would win. The Russian guy was just dominant on top. Like, yeah, there was some times where he would lock up a submission like a Kimura or something, but he would defend it and then just rain down punches on him. So a lot of the places where I thought Werdum would win in that fight, he lost in that fight. So you know, we'll see. You know, he's welcoming Alexander Gustafsson, which I'm really excited to see, you know, because this is like a taste of what it would be like to see John Jones fight in heavyweight, because you remember the first fight between Gustafsson and Jones. So we're kind of getting like a guy who's the similar size as John Jones, who's fought John Jones and is going up into a weight class to heavyweight. I would love to see how that affects, like how that's going to translate when he fights Werdum. I think that's a good first, you know, like it's a tough matchup because it is a huge jiu-jitsu guy. So I'm sure, you know, he's been working his takedown defense and everything.
It can't go to the ground.
And I know Gustafsson's got some good wrestling. We saw that in his fight against DC. He even took him down once.
Took John Jones down.
And he took John Jones down too. Yeah, I forgot.
I lost it when that happened. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
So, like, what? I know he can turn on the wrestling and grappling when he wants to. But I think Gustafsson's got this, especially if he's been working on his takedown defense, and his striking's just phenomenal. I'm sure the speed advantage he has going up in that weight class is going to be a big factor.
Very, very big valid point with the speed advantage with the hands. The kicking in the hands. You saw the nasty uppercuts he landed on Glover.
Oh, my God.
And then Glover took that and did it to Anthony Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, dude, how freaking ironic is this? Like, you take something that you lost with from your previous fights, and you bring it to the table, and then you look like you're the one who invented it. Like, not invented it, but you're styling on your next opponent with
that's literally turning lemons to lemonade right there.
Yeah, for real. So I think that's a good fight. I will like to say the fight with him and John Jones, the rematch, he got taken down early, and the fight was over.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, if he gets taken down with the bigger guy at heavyweight, you might be training with some big guys, but you're fighting a Werdum who's probably at the tipping point of the heavyweight limit at 265.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big boy. And I don't care how old he is. Jiu-jitsu, you can do that till you're like 50, 60 years old. So if he can get him down, even for a second, trip him up, catch a kick or something, if he goes out there and throws a kick and get it caught, I think his path to victory is just teeing him up from the outside.
Yeah. I definitely don't think it's going to be a repeat of, like, because a similar matchup was Curtis Blaydes versus Volkan. What's the other? Volkan? Volkov, yeah. Like, I don't see it going that way, but that you got a tall Swedish fighter kind of, or like European fighter versus a very grappling oriented fighter. I hope it's not boring, but I think Gustafsson's gonna get the win in an exciting way, if anything.
Gustafsson at heavyweight. Yeah. I like it.
Yep.
Real quick, if you guys like this shit, subscribe to the shit. Or Spinning Backfist. And check out the sponsors, Sleepy Bear. Check out Sleepy Bear. These are my guys. They have CBD and CBN. Use my discount code FUNKMASTER at SleepyBearGummies.com. The only place to get your sleep as pristine as the waters.
What waters?
The waters.
Glacier waters, yes.
Sizzling. What's all the good cards we have? Good fights we have on this one? The Esparza fight, Rodriguez, that should be good. I don't really know much about Rodriguez, to be honest. Paul Craig.
Oh, he's the
jiu-jitsu guy, the Jew Bear.
Yeah, he's the Braveheart guy with the blue on his face. Yeah. He's fun to watch.
He's a fun dude.
Who is he fighting?
I butchered everyone's name.
No, I know. These Russians.
Antigulov.
Yeah. Antigulov. Okay. So it's going to be, I guess, like a Sambo Russian wrestler versus a jiu-jitsu guy.
Who's okay striking. With being on his back.
So I guess that's good.
I don't know about the striking. I don't know if he has much strike.
I remember he was backstepping a lot in his last fight, Paul Craig. I forget who he was fighting, but I think he lost. But we'll see if, because, you know, sometimes you need to take a beating to understand that you can take a beating. You know, if you don't get your ass kicked, you'll never know that you can deal with an ass whooping. And once you learn you can deal with an ass whooping, it's very easy to kind of go back in that cage and like be like, oh, okay, this is just part of it. You know, don't be scared of this. So if he learned from his last fight, I think this has potential to be a good fight for him too.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like is he takes the big shots early, hoping to wear you down and then trying to catch you off of his back with a submission. But if he gets taken down too early, man, it could be a bad night for him, especially against a good Sambo guy. I don't know how good Antigulov really is, because I really can't remember what the Russian guys, the European fighters, it's hard to keep up with everyone, especially when all the last names are crazy.
Very similar, and they all rock in the same beard.
Yeah, it's freaking hard to separate unless it's like a Khabib or a Zabit, you know, or a Tugahov, Zabari, whatever. I butchered everyone's name.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
But it's not like saying Oliveira. That I can say. You know?
Is that Cowboy Oliveira?
Cowboy Oliveira.
All right.
Well, yeah. Like, I'm thinking Cerrone Oliveira. No, Cowboy Oliveira. Yeah, the Brazilian.
Yeah. I like Oliveira. Yeah, I know he's had some, performances with mixed results. But every time, what a good fight he's been in. Even if he's on the bad end, he really goes.
Oh, the Mike Perry fight. Yeah, it was really good. And he's fighting a Jamaican guy, Peter Sabata.
Oh, represent.
Yeah, so that should be a good one, man. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know much about Peter. I think I've probably seen him fight twice now, but I don't really remember because it's not like he fights very often.
Yeah.
Especially with this whole quarantine thing now, with finally starting to see guys that we haven't seen for a while, even like Joe Duffy finally resurfaced. I thought he retired. Just not seeing these guys, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. So it's good seeing these guys get back in there.
Let's get Jeff Neal back in there already. Oh. I love that dude. 170. I think he's the sleeper, man. He's the dark horse of that division. Yeah. I love Jeff Neal.
It's hard.
Incredible boxing. I really hope they put him back in there soon. That's a future contender.
That division is stacked. It's just a shame that nothing has really happened because it's been stagnant for a while at the top.
Yeah.
I mean, who was the champ? Woodley, who didn't fight for a while. Then he fought Usman. Then Usman fought Kobe. But it just seems like there was always something going on in the back scenes. I mean, you got guys like, who's the guy from Argentina? Ponzinibbio.
Santiago Ponzinibbio.
Ponzinibbio. You have Leon Edwards. You have Gilbert Burns now coming out. Just came out of nowhere, blazing through the welterweight division. Masvidal, Nate Diaz, who just fights at 70 whenever he feels like, I guess, a big fight opportunity is on the line. You have Usman. You have Willie, who's up there. Willie's my dude, but I have to question whether or not he's still wants to compete. Has that fire that's burning inside. Like, I want to compete and still prove that I could be the best of the best and beat the best guys. Because his last two performances just looked like he really didn't want to be in there, in my personal opinion. But I still have to give him credit, former champion. And you beat him, that's a big feather in your cap.
When he knocked out Lawler, I was like, shit. Because Lawler just came off the win to Rory McDonald. And that was a war. One of the greatest fights of all time, I think. And when I saw him run through Lawler like that, I'm like, man, this guy has potential to be, you know, one of the best guys in the division. I think maybe he let the critics get to him too much with his two outings with the Wonder Boy fight and everything. Some people thought he lost the first fight, and then the second fight, you know, was lackluster. I appreciate the fight because I'm an actual fighter, so I can understand at least in a greater point than some casuals will. Like, you know, when you're going against people so dangerous, it's just that being overzealous sometimes that will just destroy your night. So I can see how, you know, he probably took his pace, but who knows if maybe the people, you know, downcrediting him because of how he performed against Woodley in the, Thompson in that second fight, maybe just let that get to him. And then after the Usman fight, you know, it's been a skid for him. But I hope he comes back, man. He's still young. It's not like he's, you know, on the older side of the division. He's like 32 or something, right?
Woodley? Last I remember, he was 37, but it's probably a good chance he's 38 now.
Oh, so black don't crack, I guess, because he looks young.
Black don't crack.
Okay, well,
there goes that one.
There goes that one. He's young, you know, I guess, but I'm really interested in seeing Woodley come back and you know, just hopefully they give him a top fighter. Don't give him no easy fights, because easy fights, you know, just play your mind, you know, just take the hard fights and keep going.
The next ones, I'm looking forward to the Francisco Trinaldo fight versus Jay Herbert. Call him Herbert. That should be a good one. That's 155. Nicholas Dalby, we talked about that, taking on Jesse Ronson, welterweight. Movsar Evloev versus Mike Grundy, 145. I don't know if you remember Evloev. He's tough Russian dude. He's got really good grappling. All those Middle Eastern guys over there, Dagestan, Chechnya, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, all those places, man, Kyrgyzstan, they all have good sambo, good grappling, like top pressure. Where if they can just get their hands locked, good luck trying to break out of that. And then when you do start biting on the takedown attempts, they're throwing haymakers at you.
Yep.
And now now you have to worry about the strike.
Yeah, that right hand. Yeah. What's it called? I guess maybe they just have like an advantage with the cardio because they're just in the mountains. Like, really, like all those guys, the elevation and just constantly hiking up mountains or just wrestling.
You think they're probably just training differently?
Training differently. I think every sport outside of wrestling has a wrestling element to it. Like, you see Khabib playing basketball wrestling. So like everything has wrestling involved, even though it's not wrestling. So I just think those guys are just everything is wrestling focused. So they're just always in there, man.
I was so confused by that. I was like, I never seen a basketball game being played like. Do they even dribble?
They don't. I don't think people could get their ankles crossed in that game.
Yeah, I'm like, where's the shimmy shimmy ya? I'm just tackling you.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's a hard game to play.
It's like rugby.
Yeah, like imagine, like, if you were really, really, I feel like it's a game you could only play if you're having fun. But if you're really getting competitive,
Oh, that shit.
I feel like guys are getting leveled.
Yeah, dead ass. Yeah, but Evloev, man, I think he's got good grappling on featherweight. I think he's a sleeper in this division. I think he's going to sneak up on a lot of people, and people are going to be... I think after this fight, I don't know much about Mike Grundy, so maybe he'll prove me wrong, but... Like I said, I think Evloev, man, he gets his hands locked, like just like most of those other guys in Russia, man. So good with that top control. Mm-hmm. And you have a few guys who are strikers and stuff like that, like a Petey Yan, mostly predominantly a striker, but can grapple, but would obviously like the strike a lot more than
it's actually
grappling.
And, you know, fuck you, Petey Yan. No, but I'm just saying.
No.
It's nice to see a guy from Russia who has a pretty... well-developed striking game, and you know, like you usually hear the leg humpers, you know, but you know, it's good to see that some of them come out of there with incredible boxing or kickboxing. Yeah. I haven't really seen so many times where he's been put to the test on his back or where
who's
he's
that?
Really going. Like I've seen him on top of guys when he's hurt them Yan, but I've never seen him really like initiate constant pressure takedowns and ground and pound from the top. Like it's always been, we're striking until you can't strike no more, and then I'll follow you to the ground to finish.
Yeah, yep, I've seen. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. But this one should be good, man. I really don't know much about that Grundy guy, but I'm definitely leaning towards Evloev on that. I think it's gonna be a fun fight. I forget the guy he fought last time, but it was competitive until the third round. He seemed to have started to slow down just a bit, but it's natural. You're fighting for 15 minutes. To keep up that energy level the entire fight, to me, is a little unreal. I think that there should be some drop-off in performance in terms of, like, the pace, because that's normal. We're human beings. We're not made on gas. You fill us up, and we just run all the way through at peak performance until we're on empty, you know? So... there is a little bit of a taper off. You should eventually come down a bit, but we're gonna see. This one should be a good fight, and I think it's gonna surprise a lot of people. Like I said, this is a guy that I got my eye on because he looks like he could potentially make 135, and eventually in the future I would like to go up to 145. So I like to keep my eyes on that competition pool, and just to one day when I'm like, you know what, Dana, I'm tired of cutting weight to 135s. I'm going up. I want to be a fat bud now.
Jacked boy.
A fat Jack boy.
Yeah, that's
fat
right.
Jack boy.
Yeah, man.
The next one, Beth Correa, my girl.
Yeah.
The booty shaking queen.
Cakey Beth.
Booty. Yeah, she's always pop locking and dropping.
Yep.
It's not always the prettiest looking thing, but
I hear it.
It makes for good conversation, you know.
But, her and Mackenzie Dern got the Brazilian on lock.
The Brazilian shakes. Yeah. The Brazilian shake dance. I don't even know what to call it. But it's like a twerk, but not really.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hip dance. But I just hope that, you know, she takes the fight very serious, because she's had some issues where she's a little too relaxed in the cage and she gets put out. You know, so I hope that, like, I don't know the other girl, but I hope Betch comes in there and, you know, is going for the kill. Because she has really good boxing, you know. She's a tough girl.
Fight, that was a really competitive one.
Yeah, that one. But, like, when she fought Holly Holm, like, right before, she's like, oh, yeah, come kick me in the face. And then right there.
She got kicked
in the face, knocked out.
Oh.
And then with the Rousey fight, she was... too emotional and she got knocked out. So I just hope that she can keep her composure and put on a very strong performance. If she can do that, I don't think she'd have a hard time.
Yeah, we got another Russian guy, Ramazan Emiev. I don't know. That's not Ramen.
Two E's. It's got to be Emiev. I think you got that.
That's not the one that came down the train with Wybin, right? 170. Oh, that guy! I thought that guy was an 85-pounder. I don't know, but another Russian guy. I've seen him fight. I just can't remember what he favored in terms of striking or grappling. But I wanted to ask you earlier, because we were talking about the Russian styles. Have you ever watched any YouTube videos on how the Russians like do their traditional boxing? It's actually pretty fascinating how they throw like their hooks. Instead of them throwing it here, they throw like they'll throw and it'll be like a looping here. So it'll be like one. Two, but they their wrists go like this, where they snap it down. And it's just like whoo, boom, boom. They throw the hooks here, and it's a interesting way how they throw the entire structure of their system. and the combination.
I haven't noticed it much, because usually, like, when I do watch videos online of, like, you know, it's usually, like, grappling, like, judo or sambo, like, full contact sambo. I did notice that for, like boxing technique videos, like that, you know, that one little Russian girl who, like, punches a tree to death and it, like, breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
She does that same style. Like, I've seen where they, like, kind of curl their wrists in a little bit and their elbows are flared and they kind of, like, punch down, like, the line. But I haven't paid too much attention to that. Like, when I watch stuff, it's usually wrestling for them.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, though. I will say it's definitely worth the watch for anybody out there that wants to check it out, especially when there's one guy, he was doing these check hooks, but normally you do a check hook and you spin off like the traditional American way we check hook, but they were doing it the same way. The guy would step in and it would just be like a looping punch over your right hand. So if it's orthodox versus orthodox, if you throw a right hand, I check hook and come over the top where I'm rolling my shoulder and I check hook off of it and I pivot out to my left and then I do that quarter turn. It's pretty nice. And so sometimes they do like a half step back with their left foot. So they'll step backwards with their left foot, pivot and turn and all in the same motion at the same time. It's pretty nice. Just different way of cutting an angle. But the way they throw their punches is what I found to be, like, the most fascinating thing, which, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, send me that link, bro.
Yeah.
I'm missing out.
And the last fight, Nathaniel Wood versus John Castaneda.
Mm-hmm. I love Nathaniel Wood, man. We were talking about earlier about, like,
the prospect.
The heart this kid has, the never give up will, you know? Like, I remember watching the Dodson fight. I feel like he was out a little bit. I feel like they should have just let it go on a little bit longer, you know?
It could have.
But I this kid has a ton of potential. He's in your division as well, 135. I'm surprised
he's
the first fight on the card.
Division two.
Hopefully soon. You know, hey, UFC, man, I give you 3 days notice if you need it. You know, just send me where I gotta go. I'm ready to take any short notice fight. I'm in shape.
Who's your manager, by the way?
Myself, but I have some people in the woodworks, you know, want to help me out. But I'm open to anything, you know. I'm down to fight. And, you know, last fight I took was on 6 days notice. I ended up winning the title and in, you know, pretty spectacular fashion. And I'm your guy if you need a short notice fight. But Nathaniel Wood, man, you know, I know he lost his last fight to John Dodson, and I'm 100% sure the machine Merab's gonna give Dodson a very hard time. If Dodson thinks he's gonna run away from Merab, there's going to be that train right behind him the whole time. There's no breaks. You're definitely not going to be able to take a break with Merab. And I'm excited for that fight. But Nathaniel Wood, man, let's see what you got, man. I know it was his, because that was his debut against Dodson, right? His UFC debut? No. He's been in the UFC?
Yeah, he was on a 4-5 win streak.
Holy shit.
And I want to say he finished everybody.
I am out of the loop. I'm sorry, Nathaniel Wood.
He beat Teco, who Sean O'Malley beat back in March.
Uh-huh.
And he finished him with a dart stroke or anaconda choke. I think it was a dart stroke. A couple of other guys, Ren Nikicho, he finished Johnny Eduardo with a dart stroke as well, I think. I think Andre Ewall, he submitted him. And I think Teco is either the head and arm on the ground or Ren Nikicho. I know he submitted him. He submitted him, though. He pretty much submitted everyone. Well, he's predominantly a boxer, which is the fascinating part that he hurts these guys, and then eventually it goes to the ground. He just puts them out with submissions.
Yeah, honestly, that's what I kind of want to get start doing, too. I want to start hurting guys on the feet and then trying to choke them while they're dizzy. Because it's kind of hard to choke people when they're, like, have all their, you know...
all fresh.
Yeah, all fresh and, like, knowing what they have to do. You rock someone, you just throw on that... Who is that guy who... Oh, he used to fight a lot, actually. Conor McGregor's training partner, Gunnar Nelson. Mm-hmm. I remember. He landed a cross on the dude and rocked him. And he didn't, you know, try and pummel him. He just kind of, like, walked over to him, put him in a guillotine, and finished and that shit.
Choked his ass out.
I'm like, if I could do that, that's the way to go. Sometimes you can really submit people that would be really hard to submit just by, you know, touching them on the chin a bit.
Yeah, that's why it's mixed martial arts.
Exactly.
And not boxing.
Exactly.
But that's pretty much it, man. That was pretty much the entire card, the fights that, I mean, I'm a fight fan. I'm going to watch all these fights. Mm-hmm. There's 15 fights on this card, which is insane. Yeah. But
yeah, there's definitely like six of these fights are like, I think have potential to, you know, be really good. Yeah. Some of the other people, you know, we'll see what they're made of, you know, but everyone starts somewhere. And I'm really looking forward to that Alexander Gustafsson fight, the Robert Whittaker fight. And what's his name? Who's the one?
Even on Nathaniel Wood.
Nathaniel Wood.
Just to see how he comes back, bounces back, and try to get back in the win column. Yeah. Dotson's a tough dude, man, and mm-hmm. Marab fighting him in a small cage is going to be a nightmare for Dotson, I would imagine, because that guy runs, and then just hopefully, he hopes you get frustrated, you mm-hmm. run in, and then he could just blitz you with the left hand, because he's so small and fast.
Yeah. But, you know. I don't think Marab will have a problem with that, especially, you know, most of that Ricky Simon fight, he was running the whole time. I remember I was just chasing him, throwing combos at him for the multitude of that fight. So, like, he's going to have no problem chasing you, Dodson, if that's your game plan.
Yeah. What do you got going for tomorrow? Hitting the golf range?
We could do that before, right? work, but looking forward to training, you know, afterwards. Get some, I think we're going to do some stuff around 6 o'clock. But,
get some sparring in.
Get some sparring in, yeah, man.
Share the love, face punching. Ow, ow. But other than that, what's your Instagram? Where these guys can find you?
Oh, Jitsu James. It's pretty simple. Instagram's at Jitsu James. You know, if you want to follow me, that's cool. But yeah, just, you know, if anything, if you don't want to follow me, just tag me and shit, you know, like if you want to be like, hey, you know, you want to fight this guy, you need this guy, just tag me. I like seeing shit online anyway. So yeah, follow me at Jitsu James. And if you don't like it, spinning back fist, right? Spinning
back fist. I love it. And on that note, that's the show. Thank you guys for always tuning in. If you like my shit, subscribe to my shit. Or spin it back.
And remember, baby.
Yes.
We bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.